Good morning. Welcome you to Hinckley United Reformed Church. Let's gather together to worship God. My name is Reverend Andrew Mderala, minister here. You may be seated. I just want to read us, or to read for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If you are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We are gathered here to worship this marvelous God who comforts us so that we can be able to comfort others. And we are going to confess this through our singing as we declare that our hope is built on nothing else, and remembering that we are serving a faithful one, so unchanging, and taking some time to be still in the presence of the Lord, knowing that we are gathered in His presence. Just a small disclaimer before we start. We are going to be singing these three hymns combined together or continuously. The intention, or what was happening in my head, was for us to just have some space where we are just focusing on worshiping God. And if you feel like you are getting tired of standing, it's okay. You can sit down and just enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. So we stand as we are able and we sing together. My hope is built on nothing else.
Thank you.
We praise you for who you are to us. We thank you because our hope is anchored on you, Jesus Christ. When we go through difficult times and rough patches in our lives, we are anchored on you and you alone. When the ground around us is sinking, we know we can stand on you, the firm rock, the rock of all ages, the one who is faithful, the one who is unchanging. When situations around us change, we know we can depend on you. When we fall down, you lift us up. You cleanse us, you dust us off, and you hold our hands to march on, to move on to the next steps. And for that, we give you praise. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to praise your name together. We give you praise for your faithfulness to your covenant with us, your people. Thank you for the wonderful things that you do in our lives. Thank you for the friends and family. Thank you for those that pray for us and for the work of ministry in this local church. Thank you for those that you have healed. Thank you for those that you have given us the opportunity to support. And thank you for those that support us. Thank you for each and everything that you do for your people. Be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family news.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome one and all to our service this morning. We will be serving tea and coffee at the back of the church, so everyone's warmly welcome, and we welcome those online. And we extend a very warm welcome to Audrey, who is now an official Hinckley resident. Welcome, Audrey. I hope you'll enjoy your time in Hinckley. A few notices for you. The most important one at this time is an extraordinary meeting will be held after the service next Sunday, an extraordinary church meeting. I don't know if you're able to put that up on the board, Tony. There is an agenda sheets at the back there, but it's to bring to you and vote for two resolutions, one regarding Steptoe's Yard's refurbishment and the other one some approval for the renovation work for 17 Station Road. Some of you may have seen the notice, it's been up on the board. Do you wish me to read them? Am I officially supposed to do that? Where's the church secretary? Am I supposed to read them officially because it's a notice of a week?
Yeah.
Right. The following resolutions will be put to the meeting. That approval be given to the next phase of Steptoe's Yard refurbishment, which is that the plans are put forward to the Synod Building Advisory Committee for approval, as our building is listed, and that the architect completes the detail required to obtain the builder's quotes. Note, in November 2022, it was agreed to simplify the original plans to a nominal building cost of $150,000. This will involve a further payment to the architect of 20% of his fee. 35% has been so far been paid. That's resolution one. Resolution two, approval to be given to the renovation work required at 17 Station Road, which are as a result of the various surveys that have been carried out. An estimate of approximately 130,000? 13,000. Oh, I can't read. 13,000 has been received for the work to replace the rotten beam and other associated work in the cellar and to underpin the front porch of both 17 and 19 Station Road where the brickwork has dropped. The cost will also cover the repair of the damaged front wall to Station Road. So you can see that, the back of the church there, so that will be 10 minutes or so after the service next week. That's one notice. I hope you've inwardly digested all that. So I'm going to hand over to Paul, who would like to talk to you for a minute about the CIC.
Hopefully you can all hear me. No coach's voice this morning. I'm trying not to. Okay. Is that okay? Is that better? So the CIC, the Community Interest Committee, you may remember that we voted in favour of at the last church meeting. But just to clarify, or just to ensure that there wasn't any legal issues with Synod, which there isn't, that's been verified and cleared. There are things to discuss. In terms of the articles of association that are being written now need to just be agreed upon and everything. So we are looking for trustees and members of the committee. Now, my lovely wife, my lovely and long-suffering wife, has agreed to do to the books, which is... But it's God that brings the increase, but he brings them by all means. It could be through grants, council grants, or local charity grants. And this will help us to have access to those funds. So it is to support the outreach work, specifically for the outreach work. So if it's something that you have an interest, a few people have already spoken to me about this, but if you have an interest and you've not spoken to me about it, please, if you would. I specifically need help with this, because we're called upon to be accountable and to be transparent in all our dealings. One of the things I'll be doing, I'm happy to write the reports, I'm happy to apply for the fundings, but I don't want to be anywhere near the checkbook, because it's very important that we have full transparency and accountability in all our dealings. So if you're interested, if you could just have a chat with me, either send me a message this week, my details are on the board, just outside the office, or if you just want to grab me while we're having a tea at the end, that would be great. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry.
Richard Knott, the Synod Children and Youth Development Officer, will be visiting the church on Thursday, the 18th of April, for approximately 40 minutes. He's on a tour of the Synod, and each church is allocated 40 minutes. So he'll be coming at 1:20 on his prayer journey. It's a very tight schedule, so if you would like to be there with him, you know, visit and meet some of us, please keep Thursday the 18th of April in your diary. There were other notices on the board, the walk of witness, there's a sign-up sheet at the back, and Rachel's looking for St. George's Day helpers, and also the church walk on Tuesday again. All the details were in the notices. I only have one piece, really, of family news, unless anyone's got anything to add. But Dennis is hoping to come home tomorrow with care. So I think we need to pray that is successful this time, and he can maybe stay at home a little bit longer. Oh, right. I don't know if any of you heard that. Janet Aitchison is now home from her long-needed holiday after losing her mum and her mother-in-law being very poorly to find that she's now got flu, so she's in bed. So please remember her in your prayers. So let us come to our time of praying for others. Let us pray. I'd like to read this prayer to you from the URC handbook for the week beginning today. It's from Julia Marsh, and it just spoke to me. I think all of us feel overwhelmed at times, and it seems like the little things build up and overwhelm us the most. This prayer just reminded me to take my troubles to God. When troubles overwhelm us and we feel anxious and afraid, you hear us, God, and your constant love is even stronger. You are in all our hearts, so how can we not know you? You know all about us, our strengths and our weaknesses. You send helpers to pray for us, so that the comfort and peace may come to all who need it. It may start with just a glimmer of hope, but it is possible to feel joy and happiness again. Father, we pray for all in your church whose journey through life is hard, dangerous, exhausting, or confused. For those who follow you but always feel like their faith is being tested, and for those who have drifted away. We think of all those whose lives are disrupted by war, famine, or political unrest. Those who have had to leave everything they have and everything they know behind for safety purposes. Those who are persecuted for their belief in you. We pray for all leaders and advisors, both worldwide and local. We ask that people think fairly, act justly, and with tolerance. That meetings and councils make the right decisions for all. We pray for peace and equality for all. We pray for all those we love and those we find difficult to love. For those whose loving is damaged, and those who have no one who cares about them. For our family and friends, and all who cause us concern, those in our family here at Hinckley who are in pain and distress, whether that be physical, mental, or spiritual. In a short time of silence, we remember all in our prayers who have all in our hearts who are named before you. Short time of silence to pray for those. We pray for those who have died and those who miss them. Those coming to terms with all sorts of losses. We ask that you grant them peace. We give you thanks for the gifts and blessings you grant us, and pray that you will continue to guide us and hold us in your care. We ask all this in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let us say together the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Sue. We sing together, Lord, I come to you, as we give our offerings to the Lord. We praise you for your grace upon our lives. And we respond through our praise and gifts and offerings to your love for us. Be glorified through our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am going to take this opportunity to induct Julie Payne to the office of serving elder. If you would like to come up front. Oh, that's what you're right. Through baptism, members of the church are called to serve God in the world and to proclaim the love of Christ by the way they live. Some are called to particular responsibilities as ministers of word and sacrament, and in the United Reformed Church, some are called to be elders, to share with the minister in the pastoral oversight and leadership of the local church. Today, according to the decision of the church meeting of 18 February 2024, authorizing ballot elections We are to induct Julie Payne to the office of an elder and to serve this congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ continued his ministry in and through the church, the whole people of God called and committed to his service. To equip them for this ministry, he particularly gives gifts and calls some of his servants to exercise them in offices duly recognized within the church. Some are called to be to the minister of word and sacrament, and some are called to be elders. Elders share with the minister in the pastoral oversight and leadership of the local church. To each is normally entrusted a group of members, and in the elders' meeting, they take counsel together for the whole congregation. They are responsible for making provision for Christian worship and education, for the maintaining proper standards of membership, and for promoting witness and service to the community, the mission at home and abroad, and the peace and unity and welfare of the church. It is their duty to arrange the proper maintenance of church building and to ensure that the oversight of church finances are done properly. Some elders represent the local church in the wider councils of the church, and by virtue of their membership of these councils, they represent the whole church to the local church. Elders being elected by the church meetings are ordained to their office and inducted to serve for such a period as the church which elects them determines. Their ordination and induction is an act of the church, and sometimes we think Andrew inducted Judy. It's an act of the church. You are the local church who is inducting Judy Payne into this office. It is right at this time to share in the statement concerning the nature, the faith, and order of the United Reformed Church and to identify ourselves with it. And there's a part you are going to have to respond with words in the yellow print. Can I invite us to stand if you are able? Please. With the whole Christian Church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the living God, the only God ever to be praised. The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life altogether. We acknowledge the gifts and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace. The highest authority of what we believe and do is God's Word in the Bible, alive for His people today through the help of the Spirit. We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness of the Catholic faith in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declaration made in our own traditions by the Congregationalists, the Presbyterians, and the Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear. Faith alive and active, gift of an eternal source, renewed for every generation. We conduct our lives together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith in the forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the church's life, both Catholic and Reformed. We affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in ever new obedience to the living Christ. Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of Spirit's gift and uphold the right of personal conviction for the sake of faith and fellowship. It shall be for the church to decide when differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace. We believe that Christ gives the church, his church, a government distinct from the government of the state. In the things that affect obedience to God, the church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief. We affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the church in the way that Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and to serve God and praise Him more and more forever. Glory. Amen. We may be seated. To you, Julie Payne, accept this statement and confess again your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I do. In dependence on God's grace, do you reaffirm your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, your promise to follow Him and to seek to do and to be His will all the days of your life? Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments descend under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is the supreme authority for faith and conduct of all God's people?
I do.
Do you accept the office of Elder of the United Reformed Church in this congregation, and you promise to perform its duties faithfully? Do you, the members of this local church, accept and receive Julie Payne to serve as an elder among you?
Amen.
Will you encourage, will you support her, and respond to her ministry, acknowledging that it comes to you from God? Let's pray together. Eternal God, you have called us to serve you in the world and to share your love with each other and our neighbors. Through the decision of this local church, you have called Julie Payne to serve us as an elder. Give her the promised blessing of your Holy Spirit and fill her with fresh wisdom and courage to lead us in the work you have called us to do. Make her wise with the mind of Christ, and give her the gifts she needs to fulfill the service faithfully. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Come here. Truly, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and according to the decision of this local church meeting, I declare you to be inducted to serve as an elder, and welcome you into this office, in confirmation of which I give you the right hand of fellowship. May the Lord bless you and give you peace, sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless, that He who calls you is faithful and is going to watch over you. Amen. I will invite one of the elders to give Julie a hand shake as welcome. And now, as elders and members of this congregation, let us affirm our commitment to each other and to the gospel. Let us pursue what makes for peace and build each other up in love. We will grow together in humility, gentleness, and patience. We will nurture each other in faith. We will bear with one another in love. We will make every effort to maintain the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bonds of peace, so that we may faithfully proclaim the gospel of Christ. The peace, the God of peace will make us complete in everything, to whom the glory forever. The Lord of peace will give you peace at all times and everywhere. The peace of the Lord is with you. Eternal God, accept the commitment made in your presence and give us grace to make it true, so that we may not fail you in the end, but give you glory and honor by the way we live through everything we say and do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Come, thou fount of every blessing, we sing together.
Good morning. A reading from John 19, 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This is the word of the Lord.
Relationships matter. Relationships are important. The synod moderator yesterday during the synod meeting opened the devotion by likening the church to a choir or a band of music, a siphon that we sing together, a melody. Because relationships between every instrument in a band is paramount. On the cross, we see Jesus surrounded by some of his followers, but some have abandoned him for genuine reasons, or not genuine reasons, depending on your interpretation. I will leave that to you to sort that out. That's your homework. Mary, his mom, is there with him. And he is going through painful moments of his life. And they are standing from a distance, and probably as he is agonizing with the experience of the cross, he can look at his mom, and whatever face his mom would give him, I think it was a comforting support. And John is also present, and the other Mary is present. And Jesus says to Mary, his mom, "There is a knock from the children's church. You are welcome. Come on in." Because they are studying Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, which says, "Ask, seek, knock." But I want to read from Matthew's text. And he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock." And I'm grateful that the door was opened. "For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened for you." Dina. Interruptions in the service when you have children, but to know that they exist and they come and they are part of us. Relationships are supposed to be mutual. And we receive from the others as we give also to others. Jesus valued relationships, and he wanted his mother to be looked after when he was dead, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. And he wanted also John to continue to receive the support from Mary, assuming that Mary was a wonderful mother. To such an extent, that's my interpretation, that Jesus was confident enough that she could continue to support John, his beloved disciple. The affection that we see being given to Jesus by his disciples are a reflection of the importance of the relationships that they had with him during his ministry. And it was only 3.5 years that he ministered amongst them. And probably with Mary, you could talk of over 30 years. And that relationship had been built, and he understood the importance of relationships. We are all in need of relating to people, though the intervals of our need to relate with people may differ. But God has made us not to be islands. We need to depend on each other, and we need to relate with each other. And that is where sometimes I struggle with how I was brought up, you know, being encouraged to stand on your own 2 feet and not to depend on anybody and to be able to stand. And then I come to become a Christian, and then we are called to relate to one another. And in the world that we live in, we are trained, even as a minister, we are trained, we are encouraged to be able to make your own decision and to stand your ground and to do that. So you're almost encouraged to be an individual, to have an individual opinion. But we are also reminded that relationships matter. How we relate with other people is important. And we are also reminded of the importance of relating with the church. And trying to balance those two sometimes can be difficult. When you want to be an individual, and sometimes you need to relate with other people, or always you need to relate with other people. And striking that balance of being yourself, but at the same time, understanding that you've got to relate with other people. Relationships, the first thing, require cultivation. It is important that we intentionally aim to cultivate our relationships with God and also with people and with creation. We have a responsibility to cultivate those relationships. And I believe Jesus cultivated his relationship with John, cultivated his relationship with Mary, his mom, cultivated his relationship with everybody that he interacted with. We have a responsibility as individuals, as God's people, to make sure we cultivate those relationships with people. Cultivation requires putting hard work on the relationship. Relationships just don't grow from nowhere. And when we do mission, we build relationship with people. That's the hope, that we interact with people with the intention to build relationship with those people. Cultivation also involves removing any weeds that may sap the nutrients from your relationship with that person that you are building relationship with the community that we are building relationship with. We make sure that we get rid of any weed, any grass, any unwanted plant that can hinder the growth of that relationship. Paul writes to the church in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 31. He says, get rid of every bitterness, every rage, every anger, every brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. In other words, get rid of these weeds so that relationships may flourish, so that we may grow to know one another and to help one another. The question that I was reflecting when I was reading this John reading was to say, Jesus was confident enough in John's ability to look after his mom after probably they have known each other for probably 3.5 years, and he's willing to entrust John to say, oh, you're going to look after my mom. And I was thinking, I've only been in this pastorate for 6 years, it will be 6 years in June. Would anybody have the confidence to entrust me with that responsibility? Probably. I won't be disappointed if no opportunity arose. But that is how much Jesus had cultivated the relationship. And the assurance and that he knew that John would look after his mom because of the relationship that was amongst them, that was growing, that he had nurtured and developed. Cultivation of relationships involves digging the ground for the roots to grow and to deepen when we fellowship, when we interact with one another, when we have meals together. You look in the, when you read the book of Acts, you hear that the church continued in fellowship and in prayer and in the teaching of the apostles, but also they broke bread together. They shared meals together. They were not lone rangers as a church. They fellowshiped with one another and they cultivated those relationships. Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things to cultivate your relationship. Relationships require us to cultivate them, to put hard work, to get rid of anything that may appear to want to sap the nutrients of the relationship that we have with one another. Relationships don't only require cultivation, they also, relationships demand consideration of the other person. And that's where I fail big time. Considering how other people feel, the ones that you relate to, as a parent, especially when with my daughter, I want her to do what I want because I am in charge, because it's my house, because she is my daughter. And I fail big time. I try very hard. But when we are building relationships with one another, with our children or with our parents or with our grandparents, whoever we relate, or with our minister or elder or a church member in the church sound desk, whoever you relate with, there has to be need, there has to be demand to consider other people. John and Mary and others had come to support Jesus on the cross because they considered that he needed them, and they considered his need on the cross for the support they were providing. But sometimes how we relate with people, we are always interested in what we can get from the relationship, which is important. We get and we give. But relationship demands the consideration of the feeling of the other person. We should be people that care for the interests of the other person. John and Mary has benefited from the relationship. But what drove them into this relationship was not what they could benefit out of the relationship. But they benefited because they had a relationship. So what started was the relationship, and then they were able to reap out of the relationship. They were not in the relationship just for what they could gain. They were willing to consider giving Jesus support. And probably if it was me, I would think, what support could I give Jesus? Me as Andrew. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He is God. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. What difference can I make in Jesus' life myself? But they understood that they could make a difference by just being there. And there are sometimes there's need for us just to be there. We don't have to talk. We don't have to say anything. We just consider that my brother or sister in Christ needs me and I'm just there. We need to consider the impact of our words when we speak to other people that we relate to. We need to consider our action, how we act, and how we respond to their words if we are to build relationships, considering other people. Sometimes, you know, we think, I think, let me not talk about you because you are holy people. I think I can say what I want. I can do what I want, however I want. But when we are talking of relationships, we have got a responsibility to consider the freedom that we have to say or to do or to behave the way we want, the impact on other people. And it is important if we are to build relationships with people in the community, the people amongst us as church, that we consider the effects of our words and to think sometimes helpful before we speak. Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or of vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves. That's where I struggle. Valuing others above yourselves. Because in my world, I am the most important person. I am the only person that matter. And therefore, the feelings and the opinion of other people don't matter as long as I'm happy with what I'm doing and what I'm saying. But then Paul says, oh, Andrew, you are wrong. No, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind as that which was on Jesus, that he did not consider his right as God to be important, but he was willing to hang on the cross for the sake of other people. I always marvel at how good Jesus is to me. And I praise God that I am not Jesus. Because Jesus was so willing to suffer on the cross for the sins he had not committed. But he valued us, even when we were arrogant, even when we didn't even know him. He valued us so much that he was willing to be on the cross for us. And even when people mocked him, because remember, people jumped, you know, to him and, you know, and pulled his beard off and mock him. And you could say anything you wanted to say when he was on the cross. And I always get humbled by how Jesus responds. Because I know what I would do if I was Jesus, knowing that I am the Lord of all lords. And some guy passes by and pulls my beard. I'll just have to click my finger like that and this guy will dissolve. But Jesus, in his humility and in his grace and in his love and compassion, he considers other people. And he is willing to endure the pain so that other people can benefit. And that is what relationships demands. And Paul writes to the church and says, do not do anything out of selfish ambitions or of vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as that which Jesus had. Relationships matter. Relationships demand us to consider others. Love is the glue of every relationship. Every relationship that we have has to be driven by love. Your relationship with your mother has to be driven by love. Your relationship with your child or your grandchildren, love has to be the one that drives that. Jesus was motivated by his love for us. He was motivated by his love even to promise one of the robbers that was dying alongside him and promises him eternal life, and he says, I will be with you in paradise tonight. One of these difficult people. But love and compassion and mercy is the basis of every relationship. In our reading today, we see the love driving John, and we see the love driving Mary to be standing with Jesus in his difficult time, in his trying moments. Love was the one that drove them to stand with him there. And he also gave them love through the relationship. And he says, woman, this is going to be your son. And John, this is going to be your mom, because I love you. And our relationship with you and with each other matter. But love should drive them if they are to continue. Amen. Here I am, humbled by your majesty. We sing as we prepare our hearts for communion. hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by Apostle Paul. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take the bread and the wine, and we give thanks to God. We lift our hearts to you, O Lord, because it is right to give thanks and praise. With joy we give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, source of all life and love, that we live in your world, that you are always creating and sustaining it by your power, and that you have made us, and that we know and we love you, trust and serving you. We give you thanks that you love the world so much that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him may not die, but have everlasting life. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he lifted the cup, saying, this is the cup which is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Bread will come to where we are, and we'll hold on to the bread until we have all received, and we will eat together. the body of our Lord Jesus Christ given to us. Because you matter also as an individual. Jesus, God wants to relate with you as an individual. When you receive the cup, you can take and drink. Let's pray together. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We stand up as we are able, and we sing our closing hymn. Tea and coffee will be served after the service. Thou who cometh from above. and cultivate your relationships with God and with one another, understanding that relationships demand us to consider each other, and love is the glue for every relationship. We share grace with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Thank you.